Long Monday. By the time it's over.
I'm going to call this meeting of the House Committee on Economic Development to order for Monday, April 8th, 2019. And members, we have the agenda in front of you. We'll generally go in that order as long as we have the paperwork. There, a couple we may skip over and come back to because we're still waiting on paperwork. And currently, just for everybody knows, we're not currently planning to work House Bill 2909, House Bill 3169, and House Bill 3395. So I will first open a work session on House Bill 2053. Was that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, Melissa.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you heard House Bill 2053 back on February 6th. There's a dash 3 amendment now. The dash 3 is the dash 2, which makes some clarifications around definitions and removes some redundant references. The dash 3 also then removes the limit on a business firm's income that is exempt from corporate excise tax under the Oregon Investment Advantage Program. In general, the bill modifies the employment and employee compensation provisions for the Oregon Business Retention and Expansion Program, enterprise zones, long-term tax incentives for rural enterprise zones, the Business Development Income Tax Exemption, otherwise called the Oregon Investment Advantage, and the Oregon Industrial Site Readiness Program. There is a no fiscal impact. The measure has a subsequent referral to revenue, and so we have a revenue impact that's been issued.
Mm-hmm. Chair Lively, I move to adopt the dash 3 amendments dated April 4th, 2019.
Representative Bonham moves to adopt the dash 3 amendments dated April 4th, 2019. Is there any discussion of the amendment?
Can I ask, is the revenue impact statement posted online?
It is not, and it's largely for the purpose of transmitting it to revenue.
Okay.
Any Representative Drazen?
At this point, if the dash 3s are adopted, does it still need the subsequent to revenue?
Yes.
Based on legislative revenues analysis, yes, they still would like it to go to revenue at this point.
Any other discussion of the motion to adopt the amendment? Doesn't look like it. Please call the roll.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Drazen?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McClain?
Aye.
Representative Wallen?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fahey?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The amendment is adopted.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2053 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
Representative Bonham moves House Bill 2053 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference. Is there any discussion of the motion? Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to be a no on this bill, not because I dislike the bill or what it, or not that I dislike what it's trying to do. But once again, we have something that talks about compensation levels, employment levels, tax exemptions, tax credits, disqualifications therefrom, and says nothing about clawbacks or setting standards or qualifications. And at some point, if people are going to listen, I guess they're going to listen. Otherwise, I'm voting no.
Other discussion on the motion to adopt with the amendment?
Can we have a short recess?
Stand at ease.
Very short.
To order, and when we left, I called to see if there was any further discussion of the motion to adopt. Representative Wallen.
Thank you. I also will be a no vote for so many reasons, including those that Representative Witt mentioned, so I won't go into them today, but many reasons. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion or comments? Representative McEwen.
Chair Lively, this has raised just a bit of concern with me. I would be happy to give this a courtesy vote and send it to revenue, but I do have concerns about the bill as well.
Okay. Anything further? Doesn't look. Oh, sorry. Representative Marsh.
Thank you, Chair. I just, as a member of the Revenue Committee, I can assure you the bill will get a thorough vetting at that level, too.
I'm sure it will. Thank you. Any further discussion? Call the roll on final passage, please.
Superintendent Barreto?
Aye.
Superintendent Faison?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Walman?
No.
Representative Witt?
No.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fahy?
No.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The motion passes, and the measure is sent as amended to the Committee on Revenue. Now, I'm going to, at this point, skip over House Bill 2098. We don't have all the paperwork yet on it, so we'll move on to open a work session on House Bill 2179.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2179 creates a task force on blockchain applications and legislation to study and evaluate the status and development of blockchain technology, investigate potential uses for economic development and business transactions, and make recommendations for legislation to promote adoption, use, and development of the technology. There's no revenue impact. There's a fiscal impact issue because it creates a task force, and there's a dash one that adds a member to be appointed by the state treasurer.
Okay.
Chair Lively, I move to adopt the dash one amendments dated February 28, 2019.
Representative Bonham moves to adopt the dash one amendments dated February 28, 2019. Is there discussion, any discussion of the amendment?
Which does what, Mr. Chairman?
The amendment adds a representative of the state treasurer to the task force.
Thank you.
Any other discussion of the amendment? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Faison?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative Walman?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fahy?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The amendment is adopted.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2179 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Bonham moves House Bill 2179 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll on final passage.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Faison?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Walman?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fahy?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The motion passes, and the measure is sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means.
We do now have all the paperwork on 2098.
Okay.
Yes.
She's not here.
I don't see it, so continue.
Okay, just go on. So I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2243.
So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we started this work session last Wednesday. This is the bill that defines public library as a public agency that provides free and equal access to the library and information services for all residents of that local government unit. There is, again, no revenue impact. There's a fiscal impact issued, which is posted on OLS. We also have a FAQ that we received as follow-up to your questions, which is also posted on OLS.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2243 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bonham moves House Bill 2243 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? I know there was quite a bit of discussion we just last time, Representative Fahy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I wondered if there had been any more clarification about the free piece of it. You know, the FAQ was helpful, but I don't think it directly addressed that issue unless I missed something.
So I think there's somebody here in the audience who could come forward, and if you would please, and just identify yourself and answer that. We spoke on the phone about this earlier, but I knew that was an issue that needed to be clarified, so welcome.
My name is Esther Moberg. I'm the current Oregon Library Association president, so I'm representing librarians across the state of Oregon. And when we put this language for the bill together. We wanted to state, you know, the minimum standards for a public library include free access to services at a minimum standard for public libraries. This is a difference from, say, a private library, which does not have free services. There is a charge for membership, regardless of residency or not. So that's why we thought the free language was important to have in that, in this bill, because it is a difference between private and public libraries. And this is by no means a full list of all services that are from a library, saying that all services are free. That is not the case. We're saying the minimum standards for public libraries are the free part for residents.
Representative McLean?
Well, I called my own personal librarian expert from Washington County, and she cleared that up for me, that it's just admittance into the library. And there are other services that you may have to pay for that are up and above having a public library with free admittance. So it feels like she answered the issues that we had at the last meeting, and I'm going to be voting yes on this.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you for being here. Any further discussion? Representative Wallen?
Thank you. Can you answer maybe, like, what problem is this trying to fix?
So the original language of forming a state library simply stated that a public library is formed by a public entity, and it didn't really say what the difference was between a public library, a volunteer library, an academic library. So we're saying there are some basic services you should expect if it is a public library. Those include things like Wi-Fi for all patrons. They include a library card that's free for a resident. I mean, there's a list of about 6 or 7 things, and we're having those set at the state library that sets those standards. But we're saying there's so much more to a public library than just being an entity formed by a government. So the libraries feel very strongly that what we provide on a professional level, I mean, there's a list of thousands of things that we provide at every library in the state. But at the minimum standards, these are what should be included at the state level.
Thank you, Chair Lively. I appreciate you making yourself available to us today, because there has been some confusion around this bill. And I just want to be clear on how this new definition impacts libraries that may be free to access the building but may charge residents, and the definition of residents can vary from place to place, for services. I know there were some questions about that.
So I think you may be referring to, like, special districts or public libraries. All of those, they do not charge to residents. Anyone that comes in a library and shows that they have an address within that library's boundaries will receive a free library card.
May I follow up?
Sure.
And what happens if that library chooses to define resident by the number of months a year that they reside within the library district?
So most libraries work hard with people. I mean, in my personal library, we have folks that are transient. Mm-hmm. We actually give them a card if they can show they're in the long-term program, which could be as little as 30 days. We have RV park residents that may be just staying for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We still allow them a residency card with certain limits. So most libraries work really hard for folks to have that residency establishment. We don't see that being an issue with this bill.
This definition seems to have opened the door to this conversation with a number of smaller libraries around the state that are, I mean, they all have their own flavor, and they all have their own way of doing business, and this seems to have opened the door to a lot of conversation around that. Do you feel comfortable that those questions that have been raised by this definition have been addressed, so that I don't even know how I want to define this, the majority of our libraries are, I know a number of libraries have taken a look at the way they do business because of this legislation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure that we are providing services to as many Oregonians as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has created a bit of a stir. And I know that some libraries are working really hard to make sure that they fit under this definition, that they are redefining what they do. So speaking for your library is one thing, but speaking across the state for all libraries is something else. Are you comfortable with where this is going?
I am. I personally have worked in both academic, school, very small libraries. And I've spoken with, Agnes has a population of 173. I mean, we've spoken with Multnomah County. We are fairly comfortable that this, we're trying very purposefully not to bring everything to the state level. We still allow for the jurisdictions of the cities and the special districts to set some of these definitions themselves. That's why we purposefully haven't pulled a lot of it in there. You know, so each one sets what residency looks like. But we are comfortable that they should be able to work with this. We don't anticipate this changing currently the way these libraries run.
So they have some latitude within this definition?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. It's been helpful to have you clarify that.
Yeah.
Any further questions?
I have additional comments, but since we are in discussion for the motion, so, thank you, but I don't have any more questions necessarily.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, please.
I just think there's some unintended consequences. Rep. McEwen has sort of outlined some of those. When I had the people from my library in my office, and I'm sure they're watching this or will be at some point, we have a lot of libraries in our system because it's countywide, and some of them are very small, and they may not be able to meet this definition. And I was told that some of them may have to change their name to being a reading room or a place with books or something else. And while on the one hand my county asked me to support this legislation, I am very worried about unintended consequences in very small communities and very small libraries. And so this has given me a lot of conflict, personal conflict. So I'm still not sure what I'm going to do. But I think everybody needs to know that it's not as simple as it seems on its face.
Thank you, Chair Lively, for indulging me one more time. This bill did create some conversations in my district. I have a lot of libraries, and I believe that we have come to a point where this bill is actually going to do what we thought it was going to do. And one of my libraries actually worked to make sure that they fit under this definition and took a look at some of the practices that they had in place. And I think it was a very healthy conversation. So I will be a yes on this bill. Thank you.
There's discussion on the motion to approve, adopt. Okay, please call the roll in final passing.
My mother-in-law was on the stand.
Representative Moreira?
Aye.
She would kill me if I didn't vote for this.
Representative
She built a library.
Representative
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Wallen?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair Beatty?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye.
So the motion passes, and we'll ask Representative Gomberg to carry this bill on the floor. Okay, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2366.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2366 allocates $1.6 million of lottery revenue to the Oregon Business Development Department for grants or loans to the Port of Port Orford for redevelopment of the Port Orford Cannery. There's no revenue impact. There's a fiscal impact issued because it allocates money and it has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2366 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Bonham moves House Bill 2366 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion of that motion? Okay. Please call the roll in final passage.
Representative Brett.
Aye.
Representative Brazen?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative March?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Wallen?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fahey?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. Motion passage and the measure is sent to the Committee on Ways and Means. I will open a work session on House Bill 2383.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2383 has a dash two amendment, which is replaces the measure. What it does specifically is it appropriates $150,000 of the general fund to the Department of Revenue to distribute in two fiscal year payments of $75,000 each to Curry County for the pilot program to increase the employment in the assessor's office to achieve the assessment rotation of 7 years for property located in the county. Before those funds can be released by the Department of Revenue, the assessor needs to have $50,000 available each fiscal year from the taxing districts in the county, excluding education districts. It requires the assessor to report to the Department of Revenue and the department to report on the pilot program to the Legislative Assembly by September 15th, 2021. There is no revenue impact. There's a fiscal impact issued because it does allocate funding and has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Okay.
Chair Lively, I move to adopt the dash two amendment stated April 3rd, 2019.
Representative Bonham moves to adopt the dash two amendment stated April 3rd, 2019. Any discussion of the amendment? Doesn't look like it. Please call the roll.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Brazen?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative Hewitt?
Aye.
Representative Fain?
No.
Representative Wallen?
Yes.
Representative
Witt? Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Chair Fahey?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The amendment is adopted.
Chair Lively, I move.
Could I give an explanation?
Certainly.
I'm sorry. I was out of order. But
I didn't hit the gavel, so it's okay again.
I just, this one, because it was a pilot project and because it looks to me like it is services of a county, I was just having trouble understanding it, so I'm hoping I'll get more clarity and look at what they do. It's going to Ways and Means, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I can ask my questions there, but I will vote no on that whole thing. Okay.
Thank you.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2383 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Bonham moves House Bill 2383 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion of the motion. Representative Drazen.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to briefly say I appreciate the creativity with this bill. I recognize that they're having a real struggle down there and this is work that needs to be done. But I don't feel like this is an appropriate general fund use. I don't feel like that this is a bill that I'm personally going to be able to support.
Thank you. Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Feel a little bit the same way, but from a little bit different point of view, where this money is being allotted down there because people have skated the law and not applied for building permits, went ahead and built add-on and things like that. And now the county's looking to help the assessor go out and find these places, you know. And unless they put some bigger teeth in the consequences, you know, for skating the law, then this will continue. And then you will come back again to the state and say, hey, we need some help to, you know, find these people that have broke the law. So unless there was something else put in place at the county level to help them or help people to obey the law, you know, this seems to be kind of a ongoing problem. But I'll give this a bill a yes, but I do think there needs to be some work done right at the onset of what the issue is here.
Representative Brock Smith, did you want to feel compelled to say something about this?
David Brocksmith, State Representative, House District 1, all of Curry County. And as the former County Commissioner of Curry County, and to address your question, Representative Barreto, the Curry County will be, of course, fining the individuals that are caught building without a permit to the fullest extent of the law. The question is whether or not they're lawfully able to do so. As the assessor testified, they are able to go back 6 years and back taxes to recoup those resources according to the law. And as we talked offline, they also can demand the building permits be paid. And of course, then have the them rip open the walls to build, to have the electrical and plumbing inspected as well, if that is the case. Chair Lively and Representative Drazen, I appreciate your comments and I understand your concerns. Curry County is on the pretty much the edge of the cliff when it comes to the association, the ONC counties in the state not receiving the historic timber revenues. And the former commissioners in that county, even prior to my tenure there as a county commissioner and chairman of the Board of Commissioners, I helped assist move the Public and Mental Health Department to a standalone nonprofit to still provide the county services needed. We moved the animal control off to a standalone nonprofit to provide those services needed for the citizens of the county. We're one of only four counties in the state that actually have standalone nonprofit public and mental health services that isn't county provided. Prior to my tenure, though, the county commissioners seeing the ONC issues coming and the lack of timber revenues and receipts, to fund county services, they moved everything off to their own standing tax district. I liken the analogy to the county as the mother, if you will, and we have 44 separate taxing districts in a county of 22,000 people, because all of those children, if you will, or those taxing districts used to be, in one way or another, part of the county. So the library districts, which we have four, went off and said, this is how much money we think we'll need to be able to provide those services to the citizens. And the citizens went ahead and raised their taxes in order to pay for them. But the tax rate in Curry County is only 59 cents a thousand. And so when it comes to, and one of the reasons why the school districts are not included, is the investment of the $150,000 over the biennium. And then with the special districts, all of the special districts based on the amount of resources coming in to their districts and that percentage are going to be paying back into the assessor's office for their skin in the game, if you will. The county only gets 6% of the total resources of the roughly $23 million in tax revenue that comes in. They only get 6% to fund all of the county operations that you, of course, are very familiar with when it comes to building and maintenance to public safety services and funding a jail that is almost dilapidated and if it were to close, would never be reopened due to code. So the investment and being able to get this from a 20-year rotation to a 70-year rotation and the ability then when you have the school districts, tax rate between $2.50 to $4 a thousand, the resources coming back in from the reassessed value of the property is probably going to be 5 to 6 times fold what to the state revenues. But at 59 cents a thousand, it's difficult for the county to generate the resources. But they do see the ability for the county to collect enough once the rotation, once they're moving into the rotation, and the benefits of the cities and the other special districts that have a higher tax rate in the $2 and $3 a thousand range for the city's investment into the county to keep that rotation going. And so this is the incentive to get it done.
Any further questions? Doesn't look like it. Thank you, Representative Rocksmith. Any further discussion of the motion to approve? Representative Wallen.
Thank you. I, coming from one of the ONC counties that has suffered from the losses of the timber receipts, have great sympathy for my friend from the coast. It came out of nowhere, our inability to get timber receipts, and those counties have struggled. Mine less so, but we were bigger and had a little bit more resources to start with. That being said, it's frustrating to me to try to vote for a state general fund. I understand the bind Curry County is in. I really do. So I'm going to give this a courtesy yes to send it to Ways and Means, but it's very difficult for me to be a full-throated yes on this. Thank you.
Representative Drazen.
Thank you. And I really do appreciate the thorough conversation from Representative Brock-Smith on this issue. And I also recognize the historic economic disadvantage that we have put our timber counties in this state, as well as ONC lands, but just, timber harvests and everything else that we've done to really make it sort of debilitating for their ability to support themselves and their people. And they also have structural concerns with the tax rate as low as they as it is down there, it's hard to even imagine providing the services that are needed for the people in their community. And so from my perspective, I think that the issues that I wish that we were addressing here were ways to strengthen the economy down in Curry County, which is why I was so supportive of the $1.6 million potential lottery revenues from Oregon, Business Oregon. But I really do think that what we need in these counties that are struggling like this is jobs. What we really need is jobs. And everything else short of that is just a Band-Aid. And so I absolutely am sympathetic to the issues that are faced down there, but structurally, I think that the larger conversation needs to be about how these communities can come back from these historic declines and the positions that they've been put in the last 20, 30 years. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any further discussion of the motion? Doesn't look like it. Please call the roll on final passage.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Friesen?
No.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
No.
Representative Wallen?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fahey?
Aye.
Chair
Riley? Aye. The motion passes, and the measure is sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. So we have the go back of that. Okay. So now I'm going to open.
Okay. 2098.
Yeah. Okay. Open a work session on House Bill 2098.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have three amendments for House Bill 2098. Last Wednesday, we heard about the Dash 3, which allows the OLCC to revoke a marijuana retailer license for failure to pay retail tax or to file a return twice in any four consecutive quarters. There is a minimal revenue impact on this measure, and there's a no fiscal impact on this one. We also heard the Dash 5, which establishes and prescribes membership for an advisory committee to advise the OLCC, Oregon Health Authority, and the Oregon Department of Agriculture on standards for testing the potency of marijuana. This one has a no revenue impact and a no fiscal impact. We have a Dash 6, which is new today. If you happen to look this weekend, there was a Dash 4. The Dash 6 is the Dash 4 with one minor change, the change in civil penalties, increasing them to 10,000. The Dash 4 had it at 20,000. The Dash 6 also makes a number of technical changes to the cannabis regulation statutes. It gives the OLCC the authority to establish pilot programs of 3 years or less to expand access to medical marijuana. It allows the marijuana producer licensee that has a certain plant grow canopy to produce and transfer kef. Not quite sure exactly how to pronounce that. It also allows a producer, processor, wholesaler, or retail licensee to receive marijuana from a registered medical marijuana grow site in accordance with statute and rule. And as I said, it increases the civil penalty for violations of certain recreational marijuana statutes or commission rules from $5,000 to $10,000. There is a summary of the Dash 6, which goes by section on OLIS. And we also have, and this one has a minimal revenue impact and a minimal fiscal revenue impact. So all told with these, the base bill had a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. It does not need that to go to Ways and Means.
Okay, so we have a couple people here just to clarify a little bit more since these are new amendments for the committee. So, Nikki, are you going to?
Yeah.
Please. And then there's somebody.
Amanda.
Amanda's here from OLCC. Oh, there she is. Thank you.
Lovely members of the committee, Nikki Terziev here on behalf of the Oregon Industry Progress Association. You did hear from me last week on the amendment around the Lab Advisory Council, something that's very important. I'll take a moment just to lend my support to the other amendment tying tax delinquency with license suspension, if you will. And then finally, happy to see the Dash 6s. You all work very fast. The Dash 4s, we're very supportive of the technical package that OLCC is putting together. It's a great step in the right direction as far as pulling together more concentrated marketplace and a regulatory framework. So thanks. The Dash 6, just for the record, the Dash 6, we're pleased to see the adjustment to 10,000 from the 20,000. Thank you.
Thank you. Please.
Hey, Chair Lively, members of the committee, Amanda Borup, a policy analyst with the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. I have the summary that's posted on OLIS, and I'm happy to go through the summary for you briefly, or I could take questions based on the amendments.
the pleasure of the committee? Want to just briefly go through it, or just have questions you want to ask, or what would work best?
Go through it.
Go through it? Okay.
All right. So I'll go ahead and do that. And like I said, any questions, feel free to let me know. So in section one is just a clarification language that the cannabinoids that are regulated by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission are derived from marijuana. Recently in the news, you may have heard that researchers are developing cannabinoids from things like baking yeast and tree bark and other substances. We thought this clarity would be helpful that we are regulating marijuana and the derivatives of marijuana at the OLCC. Section two is a section that allows us to conduct pilot programs to help improve patient access within the recreational system. Over the past 4 years, the legislature has made passed quite a few bills and laws so that cardholders have better access within the recreational system. This would allow the OLCC to work with stakeholders to go ahead and try out programs to work on that. So sections 3, 6, 8, and 12 are basically technical fixes that include laboratory licensees in with the other licensees. So the way the statute is currently laid out, producers, processors, wholesalers, and retailers are in one section of statute, and then laboratory licensees are in another section. And so there's a couple of places where the laboratories just weren't included with our regulatory authority. So examples are the clarification that a licensee must be over the age of 21. That the OLCC may restrict and suspend a laboratory license, and then the allowance for laboratory licenses to transfer to other marijuana licensees. Section 4 provides clarifying languages that in order to waive the land use compatibility statement, that the grow site would have had to have at least one person continually registered since January 1st, 2015. So it's just adding in that continually word, and then that's also in a Senate bill, so it may not be needed in the long run. Section 5 defines kief and allows a marijuana producer to possess it. So basically, under the current law, kief would be under the category of a concentrate, which would only allow a processor to have it and transfer it. The issue with that is that when a producer trims marijuana, they naturally make kief. So it's been an issue for the past couple years with OLCC and the industry trying to tell them they can't have what they're naturally making in their trimming process. So that would just clear that up. Section 7 is just a change for the citation. It deals with worker permits, not licensees. So it's just a change to correct that. And then Section 8, what this does is currently in state law, grow sites that are being tracked in the OLCC system are able to transfer, if they meet the qualifications, 20 pounds into a processor or wholesaler licensee. The allowance is in one section of statute, but not in another. So this just brings that allowance over to both sides of the statute so that it's more clear. Section 9 would allow for the delivery of would allow 18-year-olds to receive delivery for medical marijuana cardholders. So if you're a medical marijuana cardholder, you're over the age of 18, you could receive a delivery from our retailers. They're currently allowed to purchase products in our stores. It would just streamline that allowance. Section 10 clarifies that passports could be issued from the U.S. or a foreign government to be used as verification of age. And then Section 11, currently the OLCC has a maximum fine of $5,000 per violation. The Section 11 would raise that maximum fine to $10,000. One of the reasons for this, currently, if people have a violation, and a lot of times they'll be right at the $5,000 mark, it'll either be the $5,000 or cancellation. By raising the sanctioning fees, it'll give the OLCC more latitude so that not every violation is either a fine or cancellation. It would give us more room with our sanction schedule. And then I'd also like to note that with a change in the sanction schedule, we would have to go into public rulemaking. So that would go through the rulemaking process before any changes were made. The last section, Section 13, combines the tax categories marijuana leaves and marijuana flowers as one tax category, which would be usable marijuana. Basic reason for this, 475B defines usable marijuana as leaves and flowers. And so this would go ahead and bring the tax categories into unity with the definitions.
Very good. Representative McLean?
The only one I think I didn't understand was number six is keep.
Yes. Correct.
What is that?
Chair Lively, members of the committee. So keef is like a crystal, kind of, little crystal substance that's on the marijuana flower. Mm. And so when you have the marijuana flower and you're trimming it, those crystals will fall off. And they're actually a product that can be sold in stores or added to other marijuana products. And so they have a value associated with them. And so producers end up with the keef. And so all along, we've been telling them, well, you just mix it back in, you know. But realistically, if they were allowed to just have that and transfer it on through the supply chain, it would be much more reasonable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Thank you very much for saying that. I think we're ready, Representative Bond.
Chair Lively, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendment dated March 27, 2019.
Representative Bonham moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated March 27, 2019. Any discussion on the Dash 3 amendments? Does Malaya please call the roll?
Representative Rota?
Aye.
Representative Rabel?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Wallen?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Yes.
Chair Fahey?
Yes.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The Dash 3 amendments are adopted.
Chair Lively, I move to adopt the Dash 5 amendments dated April 1st, 2019.
Representative Bonham moves to adopt the Dash 5 amendments dated April 1st, 2019. Any discussion on the Dash 5 amendments? Madam Lawyer, please call the roll.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative
Brazen? Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative
Wallen?
Yes.
Representative
Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fahey?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The Dash 5 amendments are adopted.
Chair Lively, I move to adopt the Dash 6 amendments dated April 8th, 2019.
Representative Bonham moves to adopt the Dash 6 amendments dated April 8th, 2019. Any discussion of the Dash 6 amendments? Desmond, please call the roll.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Brazen?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Wallen?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fahey?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The Dash 6 amendments are adopted.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2098 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
We made it, you know. Representative Bonham moves House Bill 2098 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion in the motion or further discussion? Doesn't look like it. Please call the roll and final passage.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Brazen?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative
Wallen?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Fahey?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The motion passes. This is one of the few ones that will need a carrier since most of our bills are going someplace else. Do I have a volunteer to carry this on the floor? Are you Representative Helm? Are you volunteering?
So it kind of looked like I wish it was a less complicated bill, but I'll try.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Get a free prescription.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, let's see, where are we at?
We are. We need to.
We need to wait just a few minutes on that one.
Skip over 2454.
Okay.
Initially.
So we're going to go to 2900.
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2900.
Mr. Chair, members of committee, House Bill 2900 extends the sunset for the property tax exemption on qualified real property, machinery, and equipment used in food processing. There's a Dash 1 amendment which allows a county governing body to make, by ordinance or resolution, the property tax exemption inoperative for the county and all other taxing districts within that county for any property tax year. It provides that the qualified property already exempt under the program on the effective date of that county adopted ordinance or resolution continues to be be exempt for the number of years for which it is eligible. It also allows the county to subsequently adopt an ordinance or resolution to make the exemption operative again, but limits those back and forth interoperative to three tax years, for at least three consecutive property tax years at a time. When the county does such an ordinance or resolution, it is required to notify the county assessor, Department of Revenue, State Department of Agriculture, and taxpayers who have exempt property under the law. It becomes operative on July 1, 2020 for property tax years beginning on or after July 1, 2021. There is a subsequent referral to revenue, and there's a revenue impact statement that's been issued, and there's a no fiscal impact.
Okay.
Chair Lively, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated April 4th, 2019.
Representative Bonham moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated April 4th, 2019. Any discussion of the Dash 1 amendment? Doesn't look like it. Please call the roll.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Drazen?
Aye.
Representative Howell?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative
Wallace?
No.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Pitty?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The amendment is adopted.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2900 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
Representative Bonham moves House Bill 2900 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference. Any discussion of the motion to adopt? Okay, please call the roll.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Drazen?
Aye.
Representative Howell?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Wallen?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Pitty?
No.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The motion passes and the measure is sent as amended to the Committee on Revenue. Okay. Now I'll open a work session on House Bill 3113.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3113 increases the number of premises at which winery licensee may import, process, store, and export wine or cider and sell malt beverages, wine, and cider. There's a minimal revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact. There's a dash one that clarifies that the increased number of premises applies to each winery license. And this one doesn't have a subsequent.
Chair Lively, I move to adopt the dash one amendments dated March 14th, 2019.
Representative Bonham moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated March 14th, 2019. Discussion of the amendment. Doesn't look like it. Please call the roll.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Drazen?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Yes.
Representative Wallen?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fahey?
Yes.
Chair Lively?
Aye. So the amendments are adopted.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 3113 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bonham moves House Bill 3113 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion of that motion? Doesn't look like it. Please call the roll.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Drazen?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair Pitty?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. Motion passes. Representative Bonham has indicated he'd like to carry that. Thank you for volunteering.
Of course.
So now I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3200.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3200 requires an applicant for a marijuana production license or a marijuana grow site registration that does not own premises where the marijuana will be produced or grown to submit a signed informed consent of the owner of the premises to OLCC or the Oregon Health Authority. There is a no revenue impact and a no fiscal impact.
Very good.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 3200 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bonham moves House Bill 3200 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion of that motion? Doesn't look right. Please call the roll.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Drazen?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative Thielen?
Aye.
Representative Benz?
Aye.
Representative Wallen?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fahey?
Yes.
Chair Lively?
Aye. Motion passes, and we'll ask Representative Noble to carry that bill. Okay. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3239.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3239 allows a distillery licensee to hold one or more full on-premises sales licenses. This doesn't have a subsequent referral. There's a minimal revenue impact and a no fiscal impact.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 3239 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bonham moves House Bill 3239 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion of that motion? Looks like it. Please call the roll.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Drazen?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative Thielen?
Aye.
Representative Flynn?
Yes.
Representative Wallen?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fahey?
Yes.
Chair Lively?
Aye. Motion passes, and we'll ask Representative Helt to carry that.
No, we don't. So we're waiting for Representative. It's supposed to be here at 2.
And then
we have Rep. Doherty who's okay. Coming afterwards.
So let's just stand at ease for a couple minutes. We're waiting for a couple. So we'll call this committee back to order, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2454.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2454 allows professional licensing boards to issue a license to an out-of-state applicant if the applicant is licensed or authorized in another state to engage in the same occupation or profession, and the applicant intends to engage in the occupation or profession in the Eastern Oregon Border Economic Development Region. We have a -1 amendment which clarifies that the license or authorization issued is a provisional license or other provisional authorization. It requires the applicant to certify they are seeking full licensure or other authorization to engage in the occupation profession. Oops, there's a little typo there. The amendment also specifies that the rules adopted by the Professional Licensing Board may include rules on tracking and reporting those provisional licenses or other authorizations issued under the measure. We have a no revenue impact, and there's a fiscal impact issued, which is posted on OLIS.
Representative Finley, did you want to speak to the amendment, or?
If you wouldn't, I will. Thank you, sir.
If you will. Okay.
I'd be happy to. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Lynn Finley, State Representative for House District 60, serving Malheur, Harney, Grant, Baker, and part of Lake County. This is a great bill. There was some misinterpretations of some of the focus. The -1 fixes that clearly. This is, you have to be licensed to operate and do stuff in Idaho, or you can't come to Oregon and apply for a provisional permit. So that clarifies that. This is not a training ground. These are professionals we're trying to get across the Snake River to work in Oregon to complete some of the tasks. But they have to be working towards or seeking license. And at the end of 2 years, if they don't, then they go back to Idaho. That's all clearly it. So the -1 clearly identifies that and fixes it. There is no fiscal be based on that. I would be happy to take any other question, but I think it really clears it up quite well. I appreciate the opportunity to have a conversation.
Any questions for Representative Finley? Doesn't look like it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time and effort, and I appreciate your help.
Certainly.
One second. Sorry.
Okay, Chair Lively, I move to adopt the dash one amendments dated April 1st, 2019.
Representative Bonham moves to adopt the dash one amendments dated April 1st, 2019. Is there any discussions of that motion? Doesn't look like it. Please call the roll.
Representative Broido?
Aye.
Representative Dreesen?
Aye.
Representative Howell?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Waller?
Excused.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fahey?
Yes.
Chair Lively?
Aye. So the amendment is adopted.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 2454 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bonham moves House Bill 2454 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion of that motion? Representative Fahey.
Thank you, Chair Lively. Although I appreciate the good work of the board, I'm going to be a no on the bill. I just fundamentally don't believe in a piecemeal approach to occupational licensure in this state. I might have been able to get comfortable with a one-year time frame for getting licensed up, but I just feel like 2 years is too long. And I'd also just point out we have a bill in Business and Labor right now that would provide temporary licensure for the spouses of members of the U.S. Armed Forces stationed in Oregon. And amendment we'll be discussing later tonight says it requires applicant for temporary authorization to demonstrate competency as determined by the licensing board. I think that's really important because we do have different standards from state to state about, you know, the building codes and different professions. So
thank you. Any further discussion of the motion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Representative Broido?
Aye.
Representative Dreesen?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Wallen?
Excused.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fahey?
No.
Chair Lively?
Aye. Motion passes, and we'll ask Representative Finley to carry the bill. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3386.
So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3386 identifies the types of businesses eligible to deliver distilled liquor, malt beverages, wine, or cider to the final consumer at a residential address. We have a dash three amendment, which was posted earlier today, which replaces the measure. It also creates an alcohol delivery service permit and allows that permit holder to operate a digital network to provide means by which a driver takes possession of the alcoholic liquor from an eligible business and delivers on the same day to a final consumer at residential address. The amendment specifies that a common carrier permit allows a commercial transporter of goods to deliver alcoholic liquor from a direct shipper permit holder to the final consumer. The amendment sets certain requirements for the alcohol delivery service permit holders. It requires OLCC to adopt rules and allows the permit holder to charge a liquor store agent, eligible business, or final consumer a fee for delivery. It sets sanctions and penalties for violations by the permit holder or a common carrier permit and sets annual fee. Lastly, it allows the purchase of alcoholic liquor by internet or telephone from the commission liquor stores if transferred to a purchaser in person or to a driver for an alcohol delivery service permit. We have a minimal revenue impact. There is a fiscal impact, and there's been a request to refer this to the Joint Ways and Means Committee.
Representative Doherty, please.
Thank you, Chair Lively, Vice Chair Fahey and Bonham, and rest of the committee. Thank you very much. For the record, I'm Margaret Doherty, House Rep for House District 35, which is Tigard in Southwest Portland. I'm happy to be here to explain and ask for your support on the dash three amendments to House Bill 3386. I do want to thank the stakeholders and also my staff that worked very diligently on this, who helped contribute language to the that you will see in dash three. And so we worked with all of the different groups to try to come up with a solution to what their concerns were. So the dash three does a couple of things. First of all, it removes the language regarding for hire carrier and replaces it with alcohol delivery service. It defines the alcohol delivery service permit and the functions allowed for that permit, as well as the exceptions for the permit to exclude common carriers. And common carriers would be like UPS, FedEx. Those are what we call the common carriers. The intent of this language is to separate the function that a common carrier achieves from that of an alcohol delivery service. It removes the delivery shipment permit language and replaces with a common carrier permit. The eligibility for the common carrier permit is for those entities who wouldn't qualify for the alcohol delivery permit. So we separate the two. It clarifies that only the alcohol delivery service permit holder is eligible for the responsible vendor program. It lowers the limit of penalty from $5,000 down to $500 for both types of permits and clarifies when the penalty is allowed. It also allows for the purchasing of alcohol liquor via the internet or telephone, and it removes redundant language about penalty for off-premise licensees related to the delivery. Additionally, I want to put on record that there is a drafting error on page 3 of the dash 3, lines 18 to 30. The language regarding shipment delivery permit shouldn't have been included and will be removed as the bill advances. With the dash 3s, I believe we have addressed the concerns that were raised during the public hearing. In my conversations with OLCC, and they did ask me to put this on record, that it sounds like much of the cost associated with these permits will be covered by the revenue generated, in other words, the fees generated. So I'm hopeful that this bill to modernize alcohol delivery and maintain delivery integrity will be received fairly favorably in Joint Ways and Means. Again, I want to thank all the stakeholders who contributed feedback to the bill. It's because of that feedback that I believe this bill is ready to be advanced, and I look forward to continually working with the stakeholders, and I urge your support of the dash threes. I'll answer any questions if I can.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Marsh.
Thank you. Thank you, Rep. Jordy, for being here. Could you just once again go over who's eligible to apply to be an alcohol delivery service?
That is something that's going to be set up in rules, Rep. Marsh, members of the committee. And what it is it would not be the people that deliver cases and cases of wines within the UPS. Those are the common carriers. But the alcohol delivery people could be like an Uber. It could be like a Grubhub sort of thing. What we're talking about is there are companies that actually are third parties that set up they have an entire system. One of them is Drizzly that was here a couple of days ago testifying, that sets up a system. So these would be the people that would be contracted through the local liquor store. They would have training, they would have licensures, they would have all of this sort of thing to go through. And they are the ones that would pick up the liquor at the liquor store, and they are the ones that would deliver it to the home. And so those would be the alcohol delivery persons. And so it would be a kind of a third party that would deliver it. And whether it's something, and again, OLCC will do rules for this, but it could be something that a certain liquor store may have their own delivery people. But it would be a third party, basically.
Any other questions, Representative McLean? Mm-hmm.
So I probably just missed this, but they will, in that training, they're going to be asking for a 21-year-old at the door or a 21-year-old.
Absolutely, Rep. McLean, members of the committee. I think probably it would be if any of you have server's permits, because I've got a server's permit, that you have to go through certain training as to, you know, what you do to ask, you know, it even goes to the point of, at least when I was in a restaurant, of, you know, do people look intoxicated and that kind of thing. So again, that would be in rules, but I can almost guarantee you that they would need to have a server's permit. So.
McLean, there's also provisions in Section 7 that specify around the requirements, the penalties going into effect if they are not asking for those agents. Yeah.
Because, members of the committee, both the OLCC and myself, I'm very, very insistent upon, even if we have some of the larger carriers that may drop off cases of wine and don't check. And we're going to make sure that that happens, because I think it's very, very important for the integrity of this system to make sure that you are delivering to people who are over 21. And also, there some of the national third-party things, they, for example, will not deliver to college campuses. That's one of the rules that they have, the delivery people. So that's the sort of thing we want to make sure that it's integrity and it's a safe program for everybody.
Any other questions? Thanks a lot for being here. Sure.
Chair Lively, I move to adopt the dash three amendments dated April 8th, 2019.
Representative Bonham moves to adopt the dash three amendments dated April 8th, 2019. Is there any discussion of the dash three amendments?
Mr. Chairman, this is going to be real economic development Saturday nights for a lot of people.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion of the amendments? I could please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Wally?
Excused.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fahey?
Deliver that kicker down to the local pond.
Aye, the amendment is adopted. Yes.
Chair Lively, I move House Bill 3386 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Bonham moves House Bill 3386 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion of that motion? Evidently not. Please call the roll in final passage.
Representative Bretto?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Wallen?
Oh, excuse me.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bonham?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fahey?
Aye.
Chair Lively?
Aye. The motion passes and the measure is sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. So, members, that's all the bills we plan to move today. We are scheduled to meet on Thursday. Right now, we have a couple of Senate bills.
Wednesday.
For heaven's sake, can't you get it right? Wednesday. We do have a couple Senate bills, but based on the schedule for the floor, since ours is a 1 o'clock meeting, we may be on the floor longer to get through things, so we'll just let you know if something changes. But we haven't scheduled a lot of business for Wednesday, just in case we'll start later. We don't get here. Any further business? Okay.